Welcome to A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman, electrical engineer, developer, and founder of EOB Consulting. Today, I'm exploring how innovative RV destinations are redefining modern living. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello and welcome to another episode of A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman. And this week, I'll be coming to you from the Florida, Alabama Outdoor Hospitality Conference and Expo. Easy for you to say. I've interviewed Jason Linford from Suburban Propane, Gary McConnell from McConnell Associates, Asim Sharisha from SkyWeb, both Alex Sundberg and Kim Caprina from Anua International. This is a good show. Stick around. And welcome to A Place to Call Home. I'm here today with Jason Linford from Suburban Propane. Everybody knows how important propane plays a role in the outdoor hospitality industry. You know, let's learn all about it. Hello, this is another segment of A Place to Call Home with your host, Ed O. Bridgman, here today with Jason Linford from Suburban Propane at the Arizona Conference. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, yes, my pleasure. Yeah. So what is Suburban Propane other than the obvious?
So obviously we're a propane provider, but we also provide solutions for park owners. You know, there's a lot of propane is pretty prolifically used in mobile home communities, RV parks. And so we provide solutions to help it easier for you guys to take care of your clients.
So do you provide tanks on location?
We do. We provide a number of things. We can do tanks on location, so like at each individual house or mobile home.
Oh, so if they're long-term, you could provide, what is that, 250-pound tank or something
anything
like that?
Anything from 60 to 250 on a mobile home, yeah.
Is it called a bottle or a tank?
It's either one.
It's either one?
Yeah.
So I'm not wrong?
They're interchangeable. No.
Cool. Okay. So you could have, if you have a long-term manufactured home or even an RV that's staying long-term, you could have a 250-pound bottle brought out.
That's right.
What if they're not long-term? What if they just have the normal 35-pound bottles?
So there's two different ways that we can do that. We can steal a 35-pound bottle. With our bobtail, with a truck that comes out and delivers.
The truck can fill it.
The truck can fill it, yeah.
I thought it had to have a scale.
So it depends on what kind of bottle you have.
Okay.
Yeah. So one thing we'll do is a lot of times we'll provide the parks with the right kind of bottles to fill from a truck.
Okay.
The other times we'll put a dispenser in the whatever community it is, and people can bring their bottles to there, and then it becomes a revenue source for the park owner.
Does the park owner need to be certified in order to fill bottles?
We actually will train whoever's going to be filling the tank. We'll train them. It takes about 30 minutes, and then they can fill.
Really? Yep. Really? I'm from Alabama, and you have to go to a training for the weekend. You have to take 5 tests, and it costs over $260. That's not the case in Arizona?
No, when it's done with a certified company like Suburban is, we can actually teach them on site.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's really cool. So, all right, so anybody can be trained in 30 minutes. So once you train the park owner, can they train their person that's going to be filling the bottle?
Yeah, anytime we switch a tank in or out, we train anybody who's going to be dealing with that, and then it's on the whoever is the manager or the owners to train employees to do.
Well, that's a huge advantage over what we do in Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it makes it a lot easier accessible for people to utilize the product.
Okay, so you can also bring out larger bottles or like a 1,000-pound bottle that the owner could use to fill other bottles with.
Absolutely. And usually there's a little bit of a markup for them to be able to make some money in there too, so they can, you know, provide a service to their residents, but also make a little extra as well.
So it could be a profit center. Okay.
It absolutely can. Yeah.
So what is the danger? What people are hesitant. It is a flammable mm-hmm. gas, liquid actually. It's a liquid propane. What is the danger? What's to be hesitant about?
So, I mean, obviously with any gas, even natural gas going into your house, it's really no different than that. When we have our delivery trucks, they're all trained and certified in safety, propane safety. So they actually will take a look every time and do an assessment of the bottle and the tank to make sure that we're not, you know, out of compliance on anything. And to be honest, it's actually more than what you get done with a natural gas going directly to your house. You never get that checked, right? But propane is a constant thing. We're constantly checking it. Your tanks are out of ground and it's stored tank rather than gas that's completely flowing. But, you know, some of the misconceptions is, you know, an empty tank is more dangerous than a full tank. You know, the pressure.
Maybe an empty gas tank with full of fumes, but a liquid propane tank, that's not more dangerous because it's not under pressure.
Well, so when it's, yeah, so the less you have in there, the more pressure actually exists in a not a completely empty tank, but in a lower filled tank.
Yeah. A lower filled tank has more pressure than a higher filled tank. What about on a hot day?
Well, so there's a lot of variables. So we don't ever actually fill our tanks all the way full.
Okay.
So we're usually about 80%. To give room for
expansion.
For expansion,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So propane weighs 4.2 pounds per gallon, right?
Right.
Okay, so when someone is saying that they have, what's the normal size, 32 pound, is that a normal size?
Yeah, about a 90 or 100 gallon tank, yeah.
A 100 gallon tank would weigh 420 pounds.
Right.
Okay.
Full, yeah.
Full.
Yeah.
But you don't fill them full.
No.
You fill it about 80% full.
Right.
So it would only be about 375 pounds.
Right.
Okay. All right. And the reason for that is because if you fill it on a cold day and the next day it's 20 degrees warmer, you'll have expansion and some of that pressure has to go someplace.
Has to go someplace, yeah.
So it's released out into the atmosphere.
All right. And we have pressure release valves on our tanks too, but they're, I mean, they work in a threshold, and so we just, for protocol, we just don't put them above 80%.
Okay. So when they pop off, if they pop off on a very hot day, that fuel that is coming out as a gas, that's flammable, right?
I mean, it is, but it comes out of the pressure release valve?
Yeah.
No, so before it comes out of there, it's not. It's when it's into the atmosphere, it's under code, it's not supposed to be flammable anymore.
Wow, okay, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah. So propane is a very efficient way to heat.
It sure is.
Whether you're heating air or water, propane is more efficient than electric, for example.
Sure.
And so even if you're paying $3 a gallon, what's propane running for these days?
It just depends, but anywhere from $2.50 to $4 a gallon, depending on gas prices for propane are just like gas is the pump.
It
varies and location dependent. So
okay, but usually you would be better off heating your RV or manufactured home, either the air or the water with propane.
It's going to be most of the time. It's going to be cheaper. Yeah.
I understand.
And more efficient.
And more efficient. It'll heat the water up faster.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking a shower, that's important.
Okay. It absolutely is.
Yeah. So, all right. But are we seeing that some people take an easy or what they consider to be an easier road, and instead of filling their propane bottle, they are drawing electricity off of the pedestal located at the RV site or the manufactured home site?
Yeah, that does happen. And typically it happens when there's not a very good propane delivery solution for them. That's usually where the breakdown happens, is when they don't have a good situation with their propane provider.
Well, tell us how we can get a hold of a good propane provider.
So we are solutions oriented. So we are, that's what we're always looking for. So, I mean, they can call us. We're actually a national company, so we're all over the country. But in Arizona, they can get a hold of me. They can call my number.
Remind us of your name.
My name is Jason. And the local phone number here is 480-714-7255.
Okay, now some of us don't ride as fast as the rest of us.
Okay, you want me to give it slower?
A little slower.
Okay, it's 480-714-7255.
Awesome. Okay, and you're local to the Phoenix area?
We are the whole state. We cover the whole state of Arizona. We cover the whole country, but... Wow. And we are, and I am personally local to all of the Arizona territory, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you should call and maybe Jason will come to your location. And you can either bring a great big tank or bottle and teach people how to fill other bottles at their location.
Right.
Or you can bring a medium-sized bottle, for example, 250-gallon, and that would last somebody quite a long time, and then you guys could come out and fill it with the truck.
Yeah, and just one other thing, too, that we're offering is for members of associations like OHA and Mobile Home Community Association, is we offer, so we're a national brand, we have dispensers all over the place. And so sometimes for, let's say you don't want to add propane, you don't want to add a dispenser, but you still want to provide a service to your residents.
Okay.
We will actually partner with the local dispenser that can fill up tanks and give a discount to all your residents so they go to that dispenser that we're networked with as well.
So they would still have to disconnect their tank, take it
they would have
someplace
to take it.
Close by, and that person has a... contract that they're set up to give you a discount.
They would give them a discount, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So there's actually three different ways that you service the manufactured home and RV industry with propane.
Sure, yep.
So there's no excuse not to use propane to heat your water and your site because it's less expensive and more efficient.
That's right.
It's safe.
And it's actually safe, yeah.
I can't, and the way the internet is, we would hear if there was a propane explosion.
You probably hear of electrical fires all the time, though.
Yeah.
But well, propane fires, you don't hear very much.
You don't hear about that, okay? You don't hear about tanks exploding.
Yeah.
They're under pressure, and there is some hesitation from some people because of the pressure. But in reality, they're very safe.
They're very safe, yeah. We haven't had any... Cross my fingers, we haven't had any incidences in the last 20 years of anything blowing up or...
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years is a good long time.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes we'll get stuff that you'll smell something, but that's why we put smell to the propane, so you can...
Actually, propane doesn't have a smell. The smell is added.
Added in.
Yep. Absolutely. That is so cool. It doesn't take very much either.
It doesn't. It's a pretty bad smell.
It's a pretty bad smell.
Yeah.
Actually, it is. Well, this has been very informative.
You bet.
I've really enjoyed having this conversation.
I appreciate your time.
And I hope that my guests have enjoyed watching A Place to Call Home with Ed Bridgman today at the Arizona Conference. And that was Jason Linford from Suburban Propane. Next segment, I'll be talking to Gary McConnell from McConnell & Associates. Stick around. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation. Welcome back to A Place to Call Home with your host, Ed O. Bridgman, here at the Arizona Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And right now I'm with Gary McConnell of McConnell & Associates.
Good to see you, Ed.
Good to see you. Thank you for letting me interview you. So welcome to the conference. Tell us about McConnell & Associates PC, professional company. Tell us what you do.
Yeah, we're a professional corporation. We're basically based in near Raleigh, North Carolina, in Terry, North Carolina.
North Carolina, and we're in Phoenix. So you go all over the country?
We go all over the country. We've done work actually internationally. But we do, basically we're here. We just opened up an office in Phoenix.
Cool.
We've done several large projects out here. We welcome the opportunity, a lot of opportunity out here. So
awesome.
That's why we chose...
What exactly do you do? You're an engineer. What exactly do you solve? What problem does your company solve?
basically what our company does is we're known for basically civil engineering and water and wastewater. So we can do all the design plans, construction plans for different people, help them out that are getting in the RV business or expanding their business. We're also known a lot for the water and wastewater systems.
What if they were doing a residential area, what's those called? Subdivision.
That's true. We also do a lot of subdivisions. We do some municipal work. We do industrial wastewater. We work some national companies.
So maybe it's easier to say what you don't do. But so you do water and sewer all over the nation and internationally for RV destinations.
That's correct.
Glamping destinations.
That's correct.
Manufactured home destinations.
That's correct.
Commercial destinations.
Subdivisions. Wow. We also do some industrial work, too, as well. Wow. So we can do shopping malls. We can do...
So if somebody had a data center that they were putting in, a 400-acre data center, you could help them figure out how to get water to the right place and how to handle their sewer system.
We're looking at that opportunity right now. We don't have any work, but data centers use an awful lot of water.
Yes, they do.
And in many states, obviously Arizona is deficient in water, so they're trying to reuse water. So a data center, let's say in Arizona, will be a problem because it's using up a lot of water.
But in the Northeast, they're popping up everywhere.
Right. Well, a lot of times you can use, we can treat water to reclaim standards, so it may not be drinking water, but it may be enough for the cooling water that you need in the data center.
So you can think outside the box and identify solutions.
That's correct.
Awesome. 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 So we've talked about some big projects. What's such a small project that it really wouldn't be cost effective for you to be involved in?
Well, to be honest with you, we have small projects as well. Our philosophy is that the ocean's filled with drops, buckets, and lakes. So no projects really that small. We do some single-family homes.
Really?
We actually have some systems. We're on a single-family home. We'll put a reuse system in that they can actually treat the wastewater to standards. We can irrigate the lawn. And we supplement that with the city water. We have a couple jobs like that as well.
What if I have an RV destination that's been around for 15 years and it's on a septic system and I want to upgrade it? Could you get involved in that?
We have a couple jobs right now. It's an older trailer park we're looking at right now where basically have a failed system. It's probably as old as I am or older.
Wow.
You know, maybe dinosaurs were walking around then. But anyways, what we're doing is we're going to the state to see if we can get a discharge permit and again treat it to high quality water that can be discharged into the
Okay, hang on here a second. One of the biggest headaches is dealing with the governing official. You guys help with that also?
Yeah, sometimes regulations can be an issue. We find, you know, every state, every jurisdiction has its own regulations, and it's kind of like the old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
So what you figure out what the regulations are for each particular area?
That's correct.
Wow, that's huge.
What we find is that rather than saying, okay, these regulations won't let us do something, we try to take the approach, let's use the regulations to see what we can do in this area. Let's make it work for these people.
Okay.
You know, so our business is based on solving problems. And it's a good feel-good job because we're providing a service that's needed by the people. We're cleaning up the environment, keeping the environment clean, and we're also providing water, wastewater while protecting human health. So it's a good business to be in.
Well, it makes it easy to sleep at night when you can say stuff like that. That's awesome. So what if I'm developing, I haven't got an existing park, I'm developing something from scratch. When should someone bring you in?
Well, a lot of times we like to be brought in fairly quickly. So example, if we're working with someone like EOB, they may have
I didn't tell him to say that.
No, he really didn't.
But EOB Consulting.
He'll be doing the concept, let's say, plan. And then when he's working on that, we try to help him identify, let's say, where the good soils are. So when he does the initial layout and stuff and financial feasibility, we make sure that we design it so it doesn't have to be redesign. So if there's one area that has good soils, let's say for a drain field, a spray field, we're not putting homes there. We're putting that in a different place.
Okay, so right up front from the early part of design, you are involved with setting that up correctly. So let's say that the permitting process has given us some limitations, some restrictions, and said we could only have 100 sites with this type of system. Is it true that you can identify other alternatives and maybe they can get more sites?
We do that all the time.
In other words, all the time.
Different technologies, sometimes you can reduce the size of your drain fields. We can do things in some states like a flow reduction, so we reduce the flow based on low flow fixtures. So we can oftentimes help increase the density or the number of units on the site to make a project that may not be cost effective all of a sudden cost effective.
And actually pay for your services.
That's correct.
You can save people enough money that they can actually pay for your services, not only in the long run, but also in the short run.
We've actually had projects that were designed, let's say, by a competitor or other engineer. They hired us, we redesigned it, and they could afford to pay us, and they save money and increase units.
What is the downside?
I really don't see any downside.
Well, people need to contact you, so tell us how people can contact you.
They can call us, they can go online under McConnell & Associates.
McConnell & Associates at a website?
At a website, or you can just call the phone, the main office, 919-467-1239.
Hang on. Some people were gathering a pen when he said that. So I would like for you to repeat your phone number again.
Slowly.
Sure, slowly would be great.
919-467-1239.
Okay, and they'll get the main office.
They get the main office.
Which is located?
Is in Cary, North Carolina, which is right next to Raleigh.
Okay, but they can say, I am developing from scratch, I'm working with EOB Consulting, or they can say, I have an existing destination and I want to make some improvements, I want to expand, I have some sewer or water questions. I know that I'm going to have to work with the local municipality. I know I'm going to have to work with the local permitting, and I need help. Throw your hands up in the air and call
919-467-1239.
Or go on the website and look for McConnell Associates. Is that all one word?
McConnell and Associates.
McConnell and Associates.
.com,
and you'll get a hold of Gary eventually.
That's correct. We're proud of the fact that we already have someone answer the phone. We get more compliments for that than just getting an answering service. And a young lady probably will be answering the phone, asking some basic information, have you send some information to us. And then myself or one of the other project managers will be giving you a call back to discuss your project.
So no project is too small. It doesn't cost anything to call. Doesn't cost anything to talk to Gary and find out what he's doing, what he can do for you. So there's no downside.
There's no downside. And even if you call us and we can't help you, at least we made a friend. You never have enough friends.
There you go. And then he also takes care of great big projects also.
That's correct.
Not projects too small, but we can also go big. So they need to be contacting you for any of their water or sewer needs. Do you guys actually do the PERC test?
No, we don't do the soils work. We typically work with different soil scientists.
Local.
And because throughout the country, there's different, soil scientists may know certain soils better than others. So we like to have someone local that does that.
Okay. All right, but you take what the local scientists discovered in the PERC tests and other tests that they do and develop for them the best system for their property.
That's correct.
That is ideal. That is awesome and so necessary, whether you have an existing destination or whether you are building from scratch. That's what everybody needs. That is awesome. Okay, You heard it here first at the Alabama conference. Got to remember where I'm at. From Ed O. Bridgman on A Place to Call Home, here with Gary McConnell, who is an expert, who has forgotten more about sewer and water than I will ever know. So give us a call at
919-467-1239.
Awesome. And give them a call. It doesn't cost anything to make a new friend. Okay?
We all need friends.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you very much.
You.
All right.
I want to thank Gary McConnell for his time. And next segment, I'll be talking to Asim Sharisha. We had a lot of fun. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation.
Hello and welcome to A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman, and I'm here today with Asim from SkyWeb at the Arizona Conference. Thank you for letting me interview you today.
Thank you for interviewing us.
Awesome. So you're here at the conference representing SkyWeb. What is SkyWeb?
SkyWeb, we do Wi-Fi for campground, resorts, marinas. We also do camera security solution. We do TV. We do everything.
How about for glamping?
Absolutely. We're actually the Wi-Fi sponsor at glamping, and good thing that you brought that up.
Of course it's a good thing I brought it up. All right. So are you going to be at the glamping show this year?
Yes, we are.
Glamping for Americas is in Arapahoe State Fairgrounds in Colorado at the end of the year. So you guys are going to be there.
That is correct. And we're going to be the Wi-Fi sponsor. We've been the Wi-Fi sponsor for the last 3 years.
Wow. That's really kind of a big deal. That is a huge show. If you're into glamping in any way, you need to go there. All right. So look that up, Glamping Americas. But right now we're talking about SkyWeb. And SkyWeb does web services.
Wi-Fi services.
Wi-Fi services.
Correct.
Okay. So if you're having difficulty at your destination, whether it's a glamping, manufactured home, RV, and your guests are having difficulty connecting their computer and their phones to the internet, call these guys.
We're the Wi-Fi people.
You're the Wi-Fi people. Okay. So how would they get a hold of you?
So you can reach us at our website, which is www.skywebwifi.com. If you'd like to get us through email, our email is info@skywebwifi.com. We also answer our phone calls. Anytime you guys give us a call, our phone number is 989-771-7100.
Now, some of us were still getting our pen and paper out. You're going to have to repeat. How can we get a hold of you slower? One
Slowly.
More time.
All right. Three different options. The first one, you can connect to us through our website. Our website is www.skywebwifi.com. If you'd like to get a hold of us through a phone call, you can call us at 989-771-7100. And
okay.
If you'd like to get a hold of us through email, our email address is info@skywebwifi.com.
Awesome. Okay. So I own an RV destination. I'm in the hills of Tennessee.
Got it.
Okay. Can you help me?
Absolutely.
Wait a second. I've been told no matter what I do, I'm never going to get Wi-Fi there. Can you help me?
Absolutely. Couple different solution.
Couple
different solution. If you're in the hilly region, like you said, if it's a rural spot, one of the biggest challenge people have is getting a nice internet service provider. And you guys have probably all heard about Starlink. This is the Elon Musk internet. Starlink has been amazing. We have about 60 Starlinks deployed throughout the country right now for property owners that had absolutely no success in finding internet.
So these are individual property owners that have multiple sites, multiple locations, multiple guests that are trying to log on to the internet. They've been told they cannot connect to the internet, and you've been able to connect them.
That is correct. And we have 500 references to prove that as well. So what we do is once you bring in Starlink, if you don't have source or access to any other provider, we would bring it to your main office. From there, we do a Wi-Fi infrastructure design. We look at your Google Earth property, or we come down to your property, look at the layout. We do an engineering. We find the best locations where the Wi-Fi towers needs to go. We design it. It's a completely turnkey solution. We do the installation programming. From that point onward, we do all the support. It's a completely hands-off solution for the owners.
Okay, so you come down and do this assessment. Let's break this down step by step.
Yep.
All right. What is the assessment cost?
It's free. We do not charge you anything for assessment. We have technicians.
You're going to travel to my location.
Absolutely. We travel to 500 locations.
Anywhere I am in the United States.
Anywhere.
And you're going to do it for free.
Absolutely. Request a free consultation anytime.
What's the downside? What could possibly be the downside? Why would someone not do that?
Absolutely. That's the biggest question we have for all the park owners that's going to be watching this. There is nothing holding you back. Give us a call. We'll be there to do a survey.
Okay, so you come, you do a survey, and you figure out the positives and the negatives, and you design a solution that's going to solve my problem.
That is correct.
Okay, so now it's not a fair question to ask what that solution is going to cost, because it's different at every location.
That is correct.
Okay, but one of the options that you've already communicated is you can get to Starlink, which is a connection directly to the satellite.
That is correct.
Not through any wires. You're directly connecting to the satellite from the office or some main building.
Main building. Yep.
And from that main building, you, like a spider web, you go out to the towers.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that remote or is that wire that's going to the towers?
It is completely wireless.
Wireless. So
that
you don't have to trench and put conduits and run wire to these towers. They are connected to the main building by wireless connection. That's amazing. Okay.
Yes.
How about the main building? Is it connected to anything through wires or is it connected directly to the satellite?
So the only thing there would be at the building is we would have one radio at the very top to build a brain system that would connect to all the tower. Even that is very less invasive. One radio, two radios max, no trenching, no digging, nothing at all.
Sounds too good to be true. Okay, so what if I have only 20 sites? Is this going to be cost effective to me?
Absolutely.
Every other word is absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, absolutely.
Absolutely.
We got to work on another word here. Absolutely. Certainly.
Certainly.
Okay. All right. So I only got 20 sites. It's still worthwhile to see if you guys can help me.
That is correct.
It's cost effective.
Very cost effective. We're the most cost effective solution in the industry.
So,
guaranteed.
So what is the smallest area? What if I just have a residence? What if I'm a one house person?
No customers are small, no customers big. We handle it all. We do not turn down any customer. Usually at the glamping show, that's what we encourage. Even if you're starting a new property, you have two lots, three lots, we help everybody.
Really?
That is correct.
You heard it here first. Okay, so nothing's too small.
Nothing's
too small. You said nothing's too big. What if I have 1,500 sites?
We have a lot of properties that we do 1,500 sites.
We have a lot of properties.
Good, and they're very good testimonials of SkyWeb as well.
You just might have to have more towers.
That is correct.
More towers.
A little more placement.
Maybe more radios.
More radios.
So
that is correct.
In that particular case, would you maybe have a radio transmitter at this building and another one at another building over here?
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Especially if the terrain is causing the signal to have a problem?
Because when you do a Wi-Fi design, it's like you said, if it's a big property, not all radios can reach the office building because of the distance, sometimes because of terrain, sometimes there could be a big clubhouse in the way.
What about a tree?
Or a tree. What we do is we design it around, so we have radios, we place it very strategically, so there is no interference, no blockage, and the signals are very good throughout the year.
Okay, so now these guests come to our location, and they want to connect to the internet. So I don't want my neighbors connecting to the internet. I don't want everybody. I want my guests.
That is a very good question.
Yeah, I love this question.
I love this question.
Okay. How do I protect my internet access?
Initially, when we do the design, we do place the radios optimally in a way where the radio signals are not being wasted out of the properties. That's option one. The other option is, if there is a scenario where the property wants excessive coverage, but like Ed mentioned, hey, I want to keep it just locked in my area. There is a radio power that you can turn down on those radios. So we lock it inside the property. And before we leave the property, we walk around with Ed. Ed, please let us know if you're happy with the coverage. Our text will only leave when Ed signs off. Skyweb is good to go.
Guaranteed. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Nationwide. No
that
problem.
Nationwide, no problem. And one other thing that I would like to add is our monetization solution. A lot of properties, they would like to recoup some of the Wi-Fi investment they do.
Well, yeah.
If you have a good working Wi-Fi system, the park owner should not be scared to charge guests for the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
The only time charging for a solution becomes an issue is if you do not have a good working solution.
And that
because
happens
that's a big
way
problem.
Too often.
And that happens a lot. So once we design the property and it's going to work guaranteed, the way this is going to work is a guest comes into the property. They will connect to Ed's Wi-Fi. Once they connect, it will take them to a portal where they can choose the plan. If they would like to just get free access throughout the property, they can choose a limited speed free access. If they would like to sign up and get an advanced speed or enhanced speed, you can set pricing by a day, 3 days, weekly, monthly, so the park owner can also generate revenue. Every quarter, we send you a check.
Okay, I like getting sent a check. So they have to pay a fee for this enhanced service. Do you guys take a percentage of that?
Yes, we do.
You take a percentage of that enhanced fee, but the park owner enjoys a percentage of that enhanced speed.
The very big percentage, yes.
Awesome, awesome. What's the downside?
There's no downside. No downside.
Okay, I can't repeat it enough. This has been a very good episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. There's no reason not to call Skyweb, because you're guaranteed nationwide, no project too small, no project too big. You're going to get guaranteed satisfaction, very fast, high-speed internet. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. Come back to see the next one. Bam!
And that was Sam Sharisha from Skyweb. Next segment, we'll be talking to both Alex Sundberg and Kim Caprina from Manua International. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back with more insight into designing communities that combine freedom, profitability, and purpose. Stay tuned. And we're back. I'm Ed O. Bridgman, and this is A Place to Call Home on Now Media Television. Let's continue this conversation.
Welcome back to A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman, and I'm here at the Arizona Conference interviewing product leaders, industry leaders in the outdoor hospitality industry. Right now, I'm with Manua International, Kim
Caprina,
and Alex Sundberg. All right. Thank you for letting me interview you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, hey, that's what I'm here. My guests want to know what you do and how you can help them. So, what do you do?
Yeah, so we're kind of out here at the Arizona Show with Manua International. We promote wastewater treatment works. So,
okay.
You think of a septic system.
And
then the wastewater treatment aspect of it, to actually do the nitrogen reduction.
Okay.
For Arizona. And then we do the leach field. So whether that be a standard subsurface leach field or a subsurface irrigation.
Are you only in Arizona?
No, we are a nationwide company.
Nationwide, anybody watching this show in the United States can hire Manua International to support them with their wastewater needs.
Yes.
So in any development, whether it's residential or commercial, your biggest consideration that you have to take into consideration is how are you going to deal with the sewer?
Yep.
And so you guys answer that problem.
Yeah, we answer that problem. We kind of handle everything from the initial layout, budgeting, and planning all the way out through to full build out of that.
So how early in the process should someone be talking to you?
As soon as you buy that land, you actually do what we call a percolation test or a perk test, which is going to determine how fast that water is going to go away from that property.
And do you guys do the perk test?
We don't. We actually work with local soils testers, soils engineers, or civil engineers to do those.
Okay. But once the soil technologist understands the properties of that particular soil, you take that information and design the correct wastewater treatment system.
Yep. So we take that soils information.
How'd I do? Did I do right, Kim? Is that what you did? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And so people should contact you right away. What if they have a dated RV destination, an existing one? It's been around for 20 years, and maybe they've got some septic tanks that are not in very good condition, and they want to upgrade. Can you help them with that?
Yeah, we can definitely help them with that. So we'll start by doing kind of an initial consultation or a kind of inspection at their property to determine what condition those are
in. What does that cost?
So it kind of varies depending on where you're at and who the actual inspector is.
Some inspectors are more expensive than others?
So they work with some civil engineers local health department certified officials.
Okay, so you contact the local technologists and ask them to go out and do some assessment?
Yeah, we partner with them to help do that assessment.
Okay. All right, and so there's a little cost involved with that.
Yeah, there's a little cost involved.
All right, and then they come back and tell and give you their professional opinion, and you take that along with what they learned about the soil and create a solution.
Yes.
An upgraded solution.
Yep.
Do you actually install that solution?
We don't. So we provide the material to the local contractor to do that installation.
Okay, so we've been talking about septic systems. What are some of the other options?
So you have either a media filter type option, so which essentially is another, we add a tank in the ground and a media filter at the surface. So that wastewater effluent gets pumped up to the media filter. It's almost like a sand filter. So we're pumping through that sand-like media to allow the bugs and the bacteria to grow in there, and the clear water passes through there.
For those people who are not familiar with how wastewater treatment systems work, there's actually living organisms that eat the biosolids, the waste.
Yes. So I think of your standard septic tank just settles out your big particles and large debris of solids, and then the clear zone enters that soil, and the soil does the actual treatment. The alternative treatment, or the media, we introduce that media to allow those bugs to grow on.
Does that media have to be serviced?
Yes, typically you say about once a year we service those.
Does your company do that?
We can. We don't necessarily. Typically, you have to be certified by the local health department to do that.
So you help the landowner get introduced to the people that are going to come out and service their unit.
Yep, we get them acquainted and familiar with the local contacts in their area and the consultants to do that work and educate them on the process.
Okay. And are you an engineer?
I am not an engineer.
What portion of this do you, Alex, do?
So I educate them on the process of how that wastewater moves through the system. I'm more of a consultant and a business development manager for Anua.
Cool.
So educating them on the overall process of how that wastewater is going to move through their property and how we get rid of it and treat it.
Awesome. And Kim, welcome to the party.
Thank you.
What do you do for Anua?
I do educational marketing for Anua. So the presentations, general brochures, flyers, educational materials so people understand what we do and the products that we offer.
Cool. And how long have you been in this business?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Oh, that's pretty new to the business.
But it's a fun business to be in, I'm just saying.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
the only thing I know about sewer systems is that stuff flows downhill.
That's a good start.
That's about what I know. After that, I go to the experts, and I say, you guys come up with. So we've been talking about septics. What's another solution?
So kind of another solution is the alternative treatment media.
We talked about that. That's coming through the filter. But what's the difference between a septic system and an aerobic system?
So a septic system, you're allowing that soil on the property to do the treatment. In aerobic, we're introducing air prior in the actual, let's say, the septic tank initially. Or multiple tanks to kind of speed up that process.
Okay, so that by the time you release it to the soil, it's cleaner than it would have been without the aerobic system.
Yep, we're helping that soil out so it doesn't have to work as hard.
Because some soils are able to process that waste better than other soils.
Yep.
So if you're in an area of the United States where the soil doesn't work as well, you can help it by doing an aerobic system.
Yep.
And I'll bet you there's even another system. What about a contained in-house treatment plant? Can you guys do those?
So there is some bigger package plants, or there's the municipal city plants. We do some of the bigger package plants as well, with like a membrane system.
Okay.
So it's kind of the same principles. Instead of the aerobic system, we still introduce a little bit of oxygen, not as much as a full aerobic system. But then we run it also through kind of a membrane filter.
Okay. That you're sorting out the bigger particles.
Yeah, so sorting out the bigger particles, and the membrane actually gives, we'll call it, the good bacteria in the septic system a place to grow.
Okay. So there's good bacteria and bad bacteria.
Yeah.
All right. So the good bacteria you want to encourage because it's taking care of the waste. And the bad bacteria, what do you do with it?
So most of the time, that's the larger particles and the chemicals that actually stay in the initial septic tank.
Okay, but eventually that fills up.
Yep, so when that fills up, you would have a pumper truck come out, pump that, and dispose.
What do they do with it?
They take it to the municipal plant.
A big waste treatment plant.
Big waste treatment plant.
That grinds it up?
Yep, they essentially grind it up and kind of through largely dilution of all this, like the city of Phoenix has large flows, as you can imagine. So they would have millions of gallons a day. So kind of through dilution and the chemicals that they add in is how they would get rid of that.
Well, if you've ever gone to any of my presentations, you know that the barrier to development is the sewer. You gotta take care of the sewer. If you're putting in 100 RV sites, for example, or 50 glamping sites, two bedroom sites, I can't ask, it's not a fair question for me to ask how big the system would be because you don't know until you find out the area of the country and how the land, the soil is going to work with that.
Yes,
plant.
Exactly. The soil is definitely gonna play a big role in how well it's going to take that water and send it back into this groundwater.
And that's the reason why there's not a one-to-one formula that we can just say, here, you're putting in 100 sites, you need 10 septic systems or 5 aerobic systems, and they take up this much, and the leach field is going to be an acre, and you're done. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Every single part of the country is going to be different.
Yep, every single piece of land is different.
So literally, you could have a piece of land here and a mile over, it could be different?
Yep, that soil could be different. One could be super sandy and one could have a bunch of clay or the adobe clay.
Literally a mile away from each other, they could be different.
Yep.
Do you agree with that, Kim?
Yes, even on the same lot. I mean, some...
Even on the same lot?
Right, because
so
some people...
So if you get a 100-acre spot, there may be places in that 100 acres that this is optimum for a leach field and this is less optimum. Wow. Okay, so it's extremely important that the local civil engineer or soil technician come out and do perk tests all around the property.
Yep, they'll typically start with about 6 in different locations throughout the property.
depending on the size of the property.
Yep.
Okay. If you're talking about 6 acres.
6 acres, six is probably optimum.
But if you're talking about 100 acres.
Yes, six areas, and the first five would probably be better.
Okay. All right. So, how do I get a hold of you?
So, newerinternational.com, or easier, even better, is oneplaceseptic.com.
One more, Kim, your turn. How do we get a hold of you?
Go to oneplaceseptic.com.
Oneplaceseptic.com. Do you have a phone number?
We do. It's going to be 775-881-8320.
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this segment. I found it very interesting. And stay tuned.
And I want to thank each of you for watching today, A Place to Call Home. I'm your host, Ed O. Bridgman, and I sincerely hope that you join me next week for when I'll be interviewing a bunch more guests.